Now we're talking to the captain of the Tigers after their win on Thursday night. He's had a day or so to recover, so he should be nice and fresh on a beautiful Saturday morning. Trent Cotchin joins us. How are you, Trent?
Pretty good, thanks, guys. And yourself?
How'd you pull up?
Oh, pretty sore, actually. First set of hit out for the year. I suppose you always pull up that little bit sorer once, after a few weeks, you condition to the contact and the physicality of our great game.
Where are you driving to, Coach? You've got a couple of days off, have you?
A couple of days off. I'm actually down in Traralgon at the moment, boys, so visiting Brooks Crookpot. So.
Oh, okay. Well, we wish him all the best. Yeah, good stuff.
Sorry, Robbo.
No, that's all right, mate. I just thought you might have a couple of days off, and if you're going down to see Pop, that's terrific, Bill.
Trent, we've had a bit of a chat about the game. Obviously, it wasn't a sensational game. But from your point of view, we thought, I guess, one of the best things was the fact that guys like yourself and Delidio, some of the big names, Dustin Martin as well, weren't at their best, and yet your second-tier players were so good and took you to that victory despite the poor start.
Yeah, I suppose so, especially when we were headed earlier in the game. The likes of Taylor Hunt, Kenan McIntosh, Nick Flosson had a fantastic game, probably his best for the club so far. So really great signs from our younger or less experienced players with the Tigers, and I suppose it's only good signs for us to come.
What were you thinking at quarter time?
Look, to be honest, we never really felt like Carlton had control of the game. They probably put a little bit, or taken their opportunities a little bit more. We took a little bit longer to get our game up and going, but I think the good thing about our playing group now is that we're quite composed and we never feel that it's getting out of control.
Kingy mentioned the midfield. We're going to talk about the midfield clearances later in the show. 10-3 down, what did you attribute that to?
I think there's no doubt Carlton's midfield are a talented group and been together for a while. We're probably just getting out hunted and they were getting to the contest better and quicker than what we were earlier on in the game. I felt that the numbers probably didn't show with regards to the end result and clearances and so forth, but we outnumbered the contest a bit better than they did as the game went on.
Trent, can I ask you about the first centre bounce of the year? You've got your right-hand man, your lieutenant, and Brett Delidio comes flying in off the line. I know he's been reported, not talking about the report per se, but he comes in and makes contact like that. What goes through your mind? Is that a positive sign? Are you concerned about a report? Do you think, well, this is the standard? What does it do for the group?
Oh, look, obviously you're always worried about player safety, but I think from a physicality point of view and an intensity point of view, he set the standard for us for the year, really. He comes off the line, played, that was exactly the role that we wanted him to play from the first centre bounce, and look, I'm not going to comment on the actual contact or anything that happened in the contest, but I think it was just one of those contests that was a bit unlucky.
Do you think after the season of last year, I know we often go back to it, but it's probably our only gauge at the moment on the Tigers till we get further into the season. Do you think the Tigers must find more physicality?
I think we finished up the year last year second in the AFL for contested possession. So from, winning the footy point of view, I think we're capable of it and well and truly capable of it. Doing it really well on a consistent basis, yes. But I think it's just one of those things you continue to develop over time. I don't think we've been the greatest tackling side in the past, so that's probably one area that we'd like to improve.
There's so many positives to take out of the game, and I know you probably did a lot wrong, and that'll be in the review, but the one positive which we were just talking about was Jack played a great game. He really did. He was influential, he was emotional, and he's just always charged, Jack. But for Jack to be used best, a tall has to play pretty well deep. And Ben Griffiths did that on Thursday night. How important do you think those two were, especially Ben?
Yeah, it was a great game for Ben's confidence. I think he had, 12, 13 touches. He took some really good marks and finished his work off accordingly, which is what we've been looking for out of our key forwards. And I know that a lot's been said about Ty not playing, and it was really important for Ben to step up as well and play that role for us, because not only does he play that key forward role, he also gives Big Ivana chop out in the ruck, which is really beneficial for him, especially as the year goes on.
What's he like as a kid, Trent, Ben Griffiths? You know, he's obviously had a lot of injury issues. We've seen he's a big booming kick. He's got some talent. He's obviously, his confidence, no doubt, needs boosting. And like you said, that will help him. Is he the sort now that can play a few good games behind him that he can really push on?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you talk about Ruckman and how their prime is sort of 24, 25 years old. He still hasn't even hit that age yet. He's 200 centimetres. We think he's got a lot to offer from a talent point of view. He's done a lot of work on his body, making sure that it's fit to play and it's strong enough in the contest. So we're just looking forward to him taking big steps forward every week and hopefully has a really consistent year for us.
Jack was emotional after the game, and clearly everyone understands why. When the unfortunate incident, you know, happened with his cousin Matty, what did you do for him? And at the game of the weekend, how did you feel when you saw Jack go through the experience? Did a lot of players go up to him after the game, or do you leave a guy alone in that scenario?
It's one of those tough situations where, you know, everyone deals with grieving differently. Initially, he was, I suppose, a real cornerstone for his family. He was really strong. And someone who runs really high on emotion,
yeah,
like that was just incredible to watch. And the way he supported his family, whether it be immediate or extended. But there's obviously going to be times where you're at your weakest point, and we just needed to support him through that. And I feel we did. He's obviously got a number of close mates at the club, and we all get along really well, which always helps when times are tough.
You know what I was thinking? It's just emotional game football, right? I mean, Jack's grieving, and he's probably grieved alone and grieved with his family. And then to go out and play a game of football, which demands so much emotion from an individual, that when it was sort of finished, the come down. And I think the whole country watching it on TV just felt for Jack, you know? I mean, just to see this young man who's been criticised, Trent, for his emotion and over the time. And when I saw that, I thought, that's why Jack can be emotional in the really good times and he's emotional in the really bad times. That is Jack Riewoldt. And we try and curb it sometimes by saying, don't do that, Jack, don't do that, Jack, but Jack on Thursday night, I thought he was just a class act for the Richmond Football Club.
Yeah, I think so. And more importantly, Jack himself. I mean, it just shows that he is human. and all AFL players are human, and we all deal with different situations in our own way, as do every person in the world, I suppose. And I think the club's been great in the way we've shown support to Jack, but more importantly, the way he's, you know, acted and stuck really strong for everyone else has been. I mean, I couldn't imagine how it's been for the whole family going through what they have, and they've all stuck really fat, which is important, and that's why we have family and friends.
Trent, you've had all your pre-season, I suppose, ideals and aims. What would you sell to the Richmond faithful? What is going to be acceptable for the Tigers this year?
Oh, improvement. I mean, last year we started poorly, we finished strong, we let ourselves down in finals. I think every team's striving to play finals, especially this early on in the year, but the reality is there's a lot of hard work to get there. We started off well. We've got 4 points on the board, which is better than last year's.
You're plus one.
We just need to make sure that, you know, we've got Bulldogs next weekend, we tick that one off and we continue that throughout the year and build some real confidence in our group and continue to play our way. We know exactly what works for us and what doesn't work, so we've just got to make sure that we're ticking the boxes on a really consistent basis and give ourselves every opportunity.
So what is this list? You've been around long enough now and you've seen the top of the tree, you know what it, you know, people are capable of. What's this list capable of?
Capable of?
Where can they go?
I think we're capable of anything, but it comes down to that consistent performance.
Can I ask
without that? You see that with a number of the top sides. They just do it on a consistent level in comparison to the teams that either just make it or fall away, and that's what we're striving to be.
been a little while, Trent, since you've had a couple of youngsters come into the group and actually commit to a game like Camden McIntosh did on Thursday night. Must be really exciting. You've also got Sam Lloyd, who's taken some giant strides and impacted the scoreboard. We talked about Taylor Hunt before you come on. Pretty much every decision that's been made off-season regarding selection has been a tick. That must be exciting for you.
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, we've had a lot of confidence in not only our recruiting staff over the last few years, but also our list management staff as well. They're doing a fantastic job of not only bringing in new players and developing young players, but also retaining players as well. So we feel that the club's in a strong position. Hopefully we take big steps forward this year, and then who knows where that can take us.
Are you a captain that gets involved in those sort of decisions? Do you have... I hear Scott Pendlebury behind the scenes wants to know what Collingwood's vision is, where they're going, why they're going after this type of player, how far down the track before they'll impact, those sorts of issues. Are you a captain that does that sort of thing?
Oh, you certainly have an interest. I mean, you want to be successful, and obviously that's an important part or piece of the puzzle that's going to add up to success. But ultimately, they make the decisions. We might have a small play in what sort of character or person we're after, but the club's in a really strong position where we don't want to draft idiots and so forth, and we want to have good people as part of our football club. And we feel as though if they've got a little bit to offer talent-wise, but they're a great person, they'll give us exactly what we need.
I think I saw the best three-possession, four-tackle game on Thursday night as well. I call him a blonde missile in the Herald Sun.
Mate, he's outstanding, isn't he?
He was. First of all, when you know he does that because you've been we all know he attacks the ball like that. When he got to the ball that intercepted, it was coming across goal and it was going to Yaron, and he got there and spoiled it, and Lloyd picked up the pieces and trotted in for an easy one. That's exactly what you want from Morris, but that was over and above, I reckon. They're the 100%ers.
Yeah, they certainly are. I think the great thing about Morrow is that every opportunity he's near the footy, he will give his 100%. It's never 95 or 90%. It's always 100, and that's why we love him. I mean, like any individual, he'll be disappointed with just three possessions in a game. But what we're saying from a team point of view, the pressure and I suppose perceived pressure that he puts on opposition is going to have a massive impact this season.
Is that one thing that the club had to fix from last year or improve from last year, the defensive pressure inside 50?
Oh, I think it's just where the game's going. You want to turn the ball over as close to goal as possible to give yourself an opportunity to put another score on the board. So, I mean, Morrow had been performing a really good role for us down back. He said so himself that it's been exciting for him to learn a whole new role, and it's probably just given him that little bit of fresh air that, you know, sometimes you need. It can go stale if you're playing in a position for your whole career, but he's really enjoying his role and really enjoying learning, but also teaching the younger guys how he goes about it.
Releases Titch Edwards a little bit. Sorry, Anthony, we just want to jump in there. Releases Titch Edwards to me is a kind of player. He plays a little bit of everywhere. He had 18 contested possessions, I think Kingy mentioned on...
15.
15 contested possessions on Thursday night. If Morris goes deep, you know, and tell me if Edwards has been playing deep. I would have classified him as a forward, high half forward, who bit of midfield. It releases Edwards, who's a lot better player, I reckon, than a lot of people think.
I think within our four walls, he's highly rated. Outside of that, I think he gets accolades for the occasional good game. But even Titchy, the way he chases and pressures the ball and stays involved in the contest is... Well, we haven't had that from any other forward until Morrow's probably been down there. But I just feel that he's a class act, obviously, in himself. But our half-forward line's almost got a lot of speed now. Their ability to chase and pressure the ball is better than it's ever been. And not only that, they've got some talent as well, which hopefully they can hit the scoreboard at the same time.
Can I ask you, Trent, how you reacted to what happened in Port at the Adelaide Oval last year? Obviously, it was quite a ride you were on. We're up in Sydney the week before, and it was pretty emotional just to get there. It must have felt helpless with the way you were dominated on that day. So what was your own reaction to it? Did you feel like it showed that you were miles off, or did you just sort of have to react that it was just one of those days to some degree?
it's easy to say it was just one of those days, which it pretty much was. I mean, we didn't come to play, and Port Adelaide were on, and they smashed us obviously early on, which is disappointing from our point of view, because we really pride ourselves on never being out of the game, which is probably the lesson we learnt. You need to take your opportunity. We didn't. We fell into a pretty big hole, and whether or not it was the emotion of the build-up to it, you know, we've been playing a final for probably 9 or 10 weeks anyway. All little things that just added up to what ended up being an embarrassing day for our footy club, which we're not proud of, but that's the past now, and all we can focus on is our job, or our next job, and that's the Bulldogs next weekend, which excites us as a group, and we're looking forward to playing as good a footy as we possibly can.
Trent, as captain, can I ask you a question just off actual on-field for a moment? You see what's happened at Collingwood over the last couple of weeks, and the situation that a couple of young men find themselves in, which is awkward for everyone. As captain of Richmond, do you feel like you have to get around and just reiterate to people individually, or have you done that, or does the group have to talk about making sure that this sort of thing doesn't happen at Richmond?
Yeah, definitely. We sat down as soon as it happened as a group and made mention again that, one, you need to be really careful of what is going on out there in the real world, and two, sometimes what you think you're taking or whatever it is with regards to, you know, painkillers and so forth, even if they say that they are what they are, sometimes they're not. And these days, it's just a severe penalty that's not worth the risk. So we just reiterate that message. Obviously, we want 100% of our team behaving and doing the right thing by our football club and our culture, and that's what we keep on encouraging.
That's the science of what you're taking and all that sort of stuff. You talk about and reinforce the illicit drug use. I mean, you just used an interesting word there. You said, we've got to be aware of what's happening in the real world, okay? Because
yes.
In your football's a strange world. Kingy, you were in it. It's an insular world. You've got your friends, and everything happens outside. But if you ask footballers about illicit drug use, we're not playing catcher or getcher or anything like this. Jordan Lewis said it on 360. You know, we are part of society. The issue in the real world, as you call it, probably the same issue at football at the football club. Is that discussed a lot?
Discussed a lot. I think it would be different at every club. From our point of view, it's just the conversations. You know, you have your presentation from the AFL. We discuss it as a leadership group, just how our group's going, what is happening out there in the nightclub scene and so forth that we can control. We have the integrity. We have an integrity officer now as well, so we're always in open conversations about what's actually going on, and we control it as best we can. I think it comes back to your relationships with all your players and knowing exactly what's happening within our team and making sure that, you know, we're looking out for each other, but also acting in a manner that's required.
Are you a nightclub person? I don't think you are.
No. I love it, Robbo. I'm always, every weekend, I'm out and about.
It was supposed to be a soft question, and now good smart ass. Well done, Trent. But the point I'm making there, Koch, is, mate, you know, that is not your environment. So when you talk about it, when you're in these meetings, do you listen or do you drive it?
What's happened since me becoming probably more of a captain is that you have to put aside your own individual thoughts and feelings about it. You see it in friends outside of football. You see it in the football world with the likes of Ben Cousins and so forth. It's there, and you just have to deal with it and know all the facts and how it can affect people and the reasons why people do it and so forth. So I've just done a lot of education on why it happens and how we can help, because for me it doesn't interest me. That whole nightclub scene, being out and about, has never been a part of my lifestyle, but the reality is a lot of young guys like getting out there and, you know, chasing a bit of tail and so forth. So I just need to understand that and the reasons why they do it, and just try to educate them on what acceptable behaviour is.
Don't you worry about tail, you just keep chasing the Sharon, Trent. He's happily married. You're happily married, aren't you?
So I'll try.
Trent, we appreciate your time. We've probably gone a little bit longer than you anticipated as you were driving down to Terrellwyn. But
I hope Pop's okay. Is your...
Thanks, guys. I'll pass on the wishes for you.
From the SEN footy team.
Good on you, Trent. We appreciate your time.
Good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Trent Cotchin there, the captain of the Tigers.